Welcome to the Specialized HR Podcast. My name is Alexander Lauren, and I'm joined by my co-host, Wayne Hill. Wayne, how are you?
I'm good, thanks, Alex. How are you?
Awesome.
Good.
So, Wayne, this is our premiere episode. Wayne and I are creating a small mini-series on talent acquisition before we begin the regular structure of the show, which will include some recruiting, but all of the other topics that are relevant to HR professionals. We're going to get the best and brightest minds to discuss best practices, HR innovation, interesting trends, ideas in the world of HR, and people development. How does that sound, Wayne?
Sounds perfect to me, Alex.
The best and brightest minds.
Yeah.
Okay, our show today, what we're going to talk about, we're going to talk about the current state and the ever-changing state of recruiting and talent acquisition. When Wayne and I talked about possible topics to start off the podcast, Wayne, this immediately came to your mind. Why is this of interest to you?
Well, I've been in the industry for well over 20 years. I've seen a lot of changes within the marketplace, not just in Canada, but in the UK, in the Middle East, in Europe. I've worked all over, and being in Canada for the last 5 years and seeing how trends have gone up, gone down, and just changed within the recruitment space, I found it quite fascinating, and I've had an interest in actually discussing it and learning more.
All right. And so in the UK, I don't know very much about recruiting overseas or across the pond. But I think the only thing I've ever heard is that it's more aggressive than North American recruiting.
Oh, absolutely. I would say that the UK and the US, especially New York and the sort of central areas, are very, very forward in their approach for recruitment. The UK is a heavily saturated market. If you're not embedded, I can tell you now, it would be very hard as a startup to build your business in the right way compared to here. Even though a lot of people say it's saturated here, I think there's a lot more growth here. But in the UK, it's a saturated market, very, very aggressive. Fees and everything are very high. And yeah, it's quite a solid market.
So we have a lot of third-party recruiting agencies and a lot of third-party recruiting agents, customer service, business development, whatever, and they start their own shops and they start working in their basement, which is what I did like 13 years ago. So you're saying that if you were to do that in the UK, it would be way more challenging than it would here in Canada, just strictly because of the amount of agencies that exist?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, it's not impossible. I do have friends that have started up over the last couple of years, but when you look at their background, their clientele and who they've worked with, a lot of them have managed to retain. But if you're a junior recruiter getting into the market over the last few years, say 10 years, and two years into that sort of apprenticeship of recruitment, and then you decide to drop out and then get into setting up your own business, that's a lot harder. That is a lot harder. Things have been sewn up in terms of PSLs, agreements with certain companies. It's just tough. It's really, really tough. You know, it's about who you know rather than what you know.
I was thinking about trends in recruiting and third-party agencies, and I think that consistently there are so many people that get started and they don't really know what they're doing, and then they create these impressions with employers and HR departments, and then it just builds up that impression on a recruiter. You know, you make a phone call and someone already judges you. And that's due to the fact that there's all these new agents, all these new recruiting consultants that are out there. And then at the end of the day, most of them get out because they can't handle it. So there's always like this wave and influx. And I think that still exists today, maybe even more so.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I think that's a great point. I think it's when you speak to a client, they automatically assume that you are, you know, after business, after recruitment, and they really don't want to talk to you. And if you aren't thick-skinned and you're a startup and you're trying to get into this business and recruit, and all you're getting is rejections and then you walk away, you know, these things happen. But on the flip side, like I said from the beginning, I think that it's about how you build that relationship with that client and not necessarily using a phone call, because it's one of those things where clients expect it and don't want to talk to you.
Yeah. How many phone calls I have made to the wrong person, referring to myself as a headhunter.
Yeah.
Most of them are pretty good. Most of them are pretty good, but there are those in there where it's just like, I don't want to talk to you. Hang up on me right away, or I don't have time for you, and all this thing. And I'm just like, oh my goodness, this person doesn't know me at all. They don't realize the value, but there's no relationship. It's just cold. It's just brand new, and timing is everything. And you're absolutely right. You need to have those trusted relationships.
Yeah. And, you know, people may ask, how do you build those relationships? One of the key benefits of building a relationship is how you market your business, how you brand your business. I've worked for some top agencies over the years, and one of the things I liked about them is that we were always brainstorming how to actually attract that client and let them know that we do the same business as everyone else, but we are just different. And clients respond to good brand marketing and you justifying why you're different. You know, if you get a client that bites and says, well, tell me why you're different, that's half the job done, because it's then a conversation that you wouldn't have got if you just give them a call and say, we do this and we're a headhunter, which 9 times out of 10 fails.
And you absolutely have to tailor your message, if it's a new message, to the benefit and the value.
Yeah, absolutely.
Of even having a conversation or the beginning of a relationship.
Yeah. Definitely. You know, I've worked with a number of clients. I've done the cold call thing. Oh, absolutely. But my calls have usually been to generate a meeting and not even discuss recruitment. It's more to do with finding out a bit more about that particular business, and then offering how we can help, but not directly going in for the kill, as it were, to say, well, what business do you have? Can we help you? I'm looking at long-term relationships. So I'm pointing out that I want to find out about their business and how we can help them throughout the period of time. They may not have anything right now, but it's how we can help later on down the line.
Right. I love the whole deal of partnership. I always have considered myself to be a partner. But I think perhaps if you're a third party recruiting agency and you're making these calls, you're not seen as a partner. You're mostly seen as a service company that is transactional based. I've never liked the whole transactional recruiting sort of thing. I mean, how can you put a person, equate person and transaction? Well, I guess you can. I mean, it's consumerism.
Yes. Yeah, I agree. I think that if you can build a relationship where you're seen as the partner, what you want to be able to offer that client is not just insight into recruitment, but insight into market trends within their area and the things that you've seen. That would then help. It gives you, a bit of kudos. You know what you're talking about. You know how their business is running, and you know where to, you know, flex your muscles in the right areas that will benefit them.
Yeah. Hey, Wayne, I took a few years off of recruiting, and which was really beneficial because I had a reference point, like these certain years, and I had a break, and then I had like current years. And I have noticed a few things in like the state of like talent acquisition. So I'm going to just throw them to you.
Sure.
And let me know if you agree or if you have any comments. But one of the big things I notice when you're trying to attract candidates is that people answer their phone much less than they ever did. And I've seemed to discover that you have to be really good at writing writing something really valuable to them, like what's in it for them again, and it has to be short and concise. Have you seen that? Do you tend to get more response via electronic communication, email or text, than you do with phone calls?
Yeah, absolutely. I think times have changed. I mean, there was a time when everyone wanted to be on their mobile. Now it's a case of they'll avoid being on their mobile and insist you send them a message. I think the key thing here is that if you are going to send them a message, don't make it a dummy message. And I'll explain that. I mean, make sure you have a job for them. Make sure you have something of interest, because you want to get this person on board. And if it's for a contract, you want to be able to maintain that relationship, because relationships aren't just for clients, they're for candidates as well. And they remember you. And if you haven't done a good job, or you haven't presented yourself in the best light, they're not going to use you again, or they're not going to want to work with you again. So yes, to your point, having a good grasp of the English language and being able to write the right message is absolutely key. But also, once you do get their attention, always insist on a phone call to find out a bit more about them and delve deeper.
That you have to use the phone for a relationship. Like, yeah, there's just no absolutely. Way you can absolutely. Have a relationship via email. Yeah. Okay, so and there's another one that I've really discovered. And God, I went to this recruiting conference in Toronto several months ago, and they were talking about the trends in recruiting. And the number one trend was ghosting. A lot of ghosting going on. Do you experience that yourself?
On the candidate side?
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. As much as you get recruiters that fish around for candidates but not really having a job, but just want to fill their database, you also get those candidates who are in a job, look pretty good to you on paper, and they'll jump at anything that you have. But then when they realize that it's not quite right for them, either because of location or whatever, you just don't hear from them again. I had a situation where I had a role that was really good for a particular candidate. She refused to speak to me on the phone, but we had a really good dialogue via email. And when it came down to it, I didn't actually tell her who the company was, but when it came down to the next stage, which was actually having a phone conversation and discussing the role in more detail, didn't hear from her again after several attempts of trying to get hold of her. So it's frustrating, but then we're working with people, and not everyone treats you the same.
And people, I'm sure everyone at some point in their lives realizes that it's a really small world. So the whole deal about like getting back to someone is that you've already started a relationship because you've had some communication. And once the ghosting takes place, I mean, there's no relationship really. And the relationship can, you know, you can burn a relationship that way. You know, certainly if on our standpoint as recruitment professionals, if we're going to invest our time in someone and then they don't have that respect to talk to us, then the relationship is burned. And it is a small world. I have talked to people a couple of times. I know I've had people who were actually quite rude to me, and then years had gone by. And lo and behold, the person's in front of me interested in one of my opportunities from a referral and whatnot. But you know what? The relationship was like tarnished. And what I need to do is I need to, the client who retains me to work on their talent acquisition needs, I have to make sure that I give them the best person possible. So if there's already one person who has a red flag with me, there's no way they're getting referred. So relationship building, no matter what, ghosting is the complete opposite to that.
Well, yeah, I mean, the thing about it is that you talk about ghosting, and I've really not heard the term for recruiting, for dating maybe, but for recruiting, but it makes perfect sense. Listen, I think that recruiters are the first ones to start the ghosting, you know? I think, if anything, we're to blame with regards to that. And I don't mean you or I, but the industry, the way it works. Someone goes for a job, they didn't get the job. or three people go for a job, for instance. The recruiter's working with all three, but he's holding out because he knows there's a big offer coming for one and he's ignoring the other two. You know, yes. That's how it all starts. And it's how we treat those people. We must communicate in the right way. We must be able to communicate no matter how hard the conversation is. We must be able to tell those particular two that aren't right that things are on hold, or give them something so they can have peace of mind. The moment we go down that road and don't give them something, it's the moment they then become this, I don't like recruiters because of X, Y, and Z. So we're to blame for that in the recruitment industry, and we have to do better. You know, and that's how bad reputations are built. Now, there are some excellent, excellent recruitment companies out there who have a system in place to make sure that that doesn't happen. But then there are those there that don't follow code, and, you know, things fall by the wayside, and the candidates get really annoyed.
Mm-hmm. I completely, completely agree with you. And it's almost like karma in the marketplace, starting off with the recruiters. Without that lack of courtesy to just like have closure. I'm a big fan of closure. I mean, sometimes it doesn't end well, but you know, I think we need closure.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that it's important to, especially if you want to build relationships, you want to know that that person may not have been good, but if you are good at your job and another opportunity comes up for a particular person, you know, you can put that person forward without feeling guilty that you didn't actually respond to them for the first time around you were dealing with them. You know, this is how you build a decent database and keep in touch with your people. You know, I believe Canada has a long way to go for that. The market is vastly different to the UK because the influx of people with different technologies coming into this country is not just, you know, someone coming from the UK, they're coming from all over the world. So you have to be tighter in how you approach things and also educate those that are coming in on how to do things as well.
Absolutely. You know, the other big things that I noticed when I came back to recruiting was the amount of the salary increases. People are making so much money these days, and it's a really competitive market for candidates. You know, you've always heard that term, the war on talent. You know,
yeah.
The war on to get. But it's so true. I think it's truest today than it's ever been. It's really competitive out there. When you're a candidate, you have to like really shine because you're competing against a lot of people, and the companies also they really have to shine because there are multiple offers going on. You know, just recently, Wayne, I had a guy, he was getting a $15,000 raise to take this new offer and a $10,000 signing bonus. He was getting like 25 extra thousand and he took another offer. Someone else had surely made him a similar type of offer. So it's really quite something. Do you get that kind of experience too with the rise in salaries and the competitiveness to get those great people?
Yeah, I think that the market is changing rapidly. Canada is fast becoming this IT hub, for instance, and within the IT sector, I've noticed there is a rise because part of that is because as much as there is a competitive edge because there's a lot of people going for the same sort of jobs. On the flip side of that, there's also new technology coming in where there aren't enough people. So the rise comes in for those that have the particular skills for the rare technology that's coming in. And then that offsets in rising salaries in companies for other areas that are technical. So it's tough out there in that respect. You know, if you've got core skills and you've got experience within those core skills, you're going to get paid. Now, if the company you're working with are looking for those particular core skills, they're going to pay to keep you on board. But on the flip side of that, if you want to move on, there are certain companies that can't afford to pay you that because you've now been overpaid in certain areas. So there's so many different aspects in that.
Let's talk about the benefits. of hiring an internal recruiter that can combat some of these trends or make it more beneficial to an organization to just bring someone on board, not as a third party, but more as someone internal, as a team member, as a partner? The first thing that comes into my mind is it's so less expensive. I'll be first to admit that a third-party recruiter, charging 20 to 25% on a base salary is really rich. I've always thought it's like, wow. And I always thought I was so blessed to be able to like earn income like that. But at the end of the day, it seems so high. So if you hire someone internally, you're drastically cutting down your expense.
Yeah, I think, this works in two ways. If you're a big organization and recruitment for you is a massive step in terms of your approach and how you want to grow, then having your own sort of talent acquisition team is great. It can be a cost saving. But on the flip side of that, if you're a small company with two or three talent acquisition lead recruiters or internal recruiters, in-house recruiters, whatever you want to call them on a permanent basis, you've got to think, how much are you paying them as a base compared to how much you could actually get a third-party recruiter at a good rate? Because you got to remember, these clients can dictate and say, well, we'll use you, but at this rate. Now, obviously, if you're a big organization, a big recruitment agency, you may not want to drop down to those rates. But if you're one of the small boys out there with less overhead, then you can take that. So you then have to weigh up, or these companies have to weigh up, what's costing them money and what's not. Is it really beneficial to have talent acquisition in-house or have someone part-time to do your recruitment? There's so many aspects, and I'd say it depends on the size of the company and the scope of what they're trying to achieve and how many people they're trying to bring in.
Just an add-on to what you're saying is that when a third-party agency approaches an organization and the organization wants a really low rate, the industry standard is 20%, but say an organization is offering 12%, and then you have this new recruiting agency, and they'll jump on it. So then the organization thinks that this recruiting agency is helping them and working on their opportunity. But the reality is that fellow who took 12% is still hunting for business at 20%. And then once that fella gets that 20%, your 12% role is not going to get much of attention. So you end up losing a lot of time because you have gone way below industry rate. You didn't hire someone who you had a relationship that you knew very little about, but you just saw the rate. So it can be a huge time waster. And the days that pass by when you're not having that person on your team that you need, you ultimately lose money.
True, true. I think you've got to look at it in, I would say, or I would lead that question back to you in, do you think that's industry specific? Because if it's IT and it's an area where they're looking to recruit and this IT specific IT position is quite commonplace, then doing that 12% should be a cinch for any agency. They should have the people in their on their books. It shouldn't take them too long. And if you're a good agency, you should be able to throw out a decent bunch of resumes, CVs, resumes, the same day. If you have to go hunting for it because it's, say, for instance, machine learning, where we all know that while that's now becoming a bit more popular in terms of the technology, there still aren't enough people out there that do it, then that's different because the hunt for that is a lot harder. So therefore, recruiting at 12% for a machine learning person, in my eyes, is a bit of a hard sell or hard to grasp for the recruiter. So I would say to you, do you think that this sort of thing is industry specific, or do you think it's right across the board?
I think it's across the board. Personally, if you are working, say if you have like I don't know, an organization needs an SAP implementation consultant, let's just say.
Yeah.
And you're a recruiting firm that focuses exclusively on SAP implementation consultants, then that's a, you know, if you can get that agency at 12%, because they're just talking to the people all the time, their database is filled with those people, and that's what they're truly, truly doing. So like those are the kind of organizations that could probably supply resumes in quick order. But the ones that are across the board doing all sorts of different IT roles, I think that's going to be a really huge challenge. And at the end of the day, it's going to be all about, I'm going to spend my time on where I can make the most money.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah,
I'm not sure if I answered your question, but
I guess you're right. If you're a big organization, but okay, so if you're a big organization and you have different departments, then there's a level of flexibility because it's all about your KPIs. It's all about your what are you bringing in that's going to give you your target at the end of the quarter or end of the month. So that's where it matters. If you're a small, medium-sized agency and you're doing pretty well, you know, but you want to build a relationship. Now, how I see it, if a company gives me 6 roles at 12%, that's a good deal because they've given me 6 roles that I believe I can fill. If a company's given me 1 role at 12%, I have to question, like you said, question where I sit within that to do the recruitment compared to the other roles that I have that are paying me 15, 18, 20%. But it depends on the role, depends on, like you said, you know, if it's a popular role that I should have people on my database and I'm in touch with them and do my job right, then I should be able to fill it very easily.
And if you're a partner, if you've been hired internally to consult on talent acquisition and you act as a partner with human resources and you have the ear of the hiring managers who see you as a partner, then ultimately you can be very successful with anything that you're really working on. Because you have your one experienced voice sending that message to the marketplace. I hope you've done your homework. You know why people want to work for the organization that you're representing. You have all your sales tools in place to sell the opportunity and the company. And you really are working on a partnership and collaboration. As it is now, if you're to work with a third party recruiter, there's just this big disconnect. And, you know, both parties don't know exactly what's going on, but if you have someone in-house assisting with all those needs and talent acquisition, then they're right there. The conversation can happen right away. Adjustments can be made right away. And I mean, you're empowered. You're empowered to sell these things.
I can agree with that here, but I can give you an example of where I worked at a previous company. And they're actually based here as well. We were always targeted to be out of the office 2-3 times a week. We were targeted with going to see our clients that we're working with before we actually start working with them, during the time we're working with them, and even after we've placed. That for me is building relationships. That for me is having the ear of HR, having the ear of the engineering manager or technical manager or creative manager, etc. So it works in both ways, where you can be a partner or you can be an agency. It really depends on how good you are as an agency. Some clients or some agencies, I should say, don't want their staff out of the office 24/7. They believe that they should be on the phones, which is quite, in my opinion, quite archaic. The best way to build a relationship is to get in front of your client, to make them know who you are, make them know that you care about their business. You don't just want it for the money, but you actually care about their business and want to be able to do a good job so you can get more business. I truly believe the moment you build relationships is the moment you're starting to get repeat business. Repeat business is a key thing.
I agree 100%. Well, we're at the end of our podcast. It's Wayne, we talked about doing a podcast. God, how long have we talked about doing a podcast? Oh, we did it.
We've finally done it. Yeah, absolutely.
So look, we'll be back. Listener, we thank you very much for listening. I hope that you have received some value. Do you have any parting words, Wayne?
For those small to medium-sized companies out there who are just starting up, keep doing what you're doing. You know, always think of ways to get in front of your client, not just by picking up the phone, but be a bit more inventive, creative in your approach, have the right message, and just keep going at it. I think that the Canadian market is a big one. And if you've built the right relationships and you've got the right passion in mind of how you direct yourself, then, you know, anything's possible. Keep going.